Well, we would appreciate your prayers this morning that the Lord would feed us today and give us of His thoughts and His words. I was thinking about really a land of hills and valleys. We'll read a scripture about that in a minute, but I was thinking about this song that we sang, number 300, where it talks about, I'm dwelling on the mountain where the golden sunlight gleams, or a land whose wondrous beauty far exceeds my fondest dreams, where the air is pure, ethereal, laden with the breath of flowers. They are blooming by the fountain neath the amaranthine bowers. And you know, the writer here is describing a land. Beulah means married. If you look that scripture up, it says, thou shalt no more be termed forsaken. And probably referring to a woman that is forsaken, that is left. And it says, but you would be termed, that your land would be called Beulah, or married. And I think about in Revelation where it talks about the bride, the Lamb's wife. And that's us, isn't it? There are a lot of metaphors in the scripture talking about land, talking about places that we have in the Lord. And it talks about mountains. It talks about deserts. It talks about hills and valleys and all of those things. And I feel like there's some things for us this morning that just maybe it'll be an encouragement to some. I want to look at Deuteronomy 11, and starting at verse 10, it says here, for the land, whither thou goest in to possess it, is not as the land of Egypt. Now, what was the land of Egypt like? It was a desert land, wasn't it? I was reading a little about Egypt. They are a desert. Anything under 10 inches is considered a desert. And most of Egypt gets less than around 3 inches of rain a year. In its wetter area around Alexandria, it says it gets maybe up to around 8 inches of rain. And so the whole place is dry and hot. And, you know, it was a place where the Israelites had experienced a lot of slavery. They had a lot to remember. They had a lot to put in their history books about what had happened in Egypt and how they were enslaved, they were beaten, they were troubled. And you know, these places, the Lord uses many of these places in spiritual terms. They're metaphors to us today. And we talk about the land of Egypt, the land of sin, where we were once held captive, where we were once beaten again and again and again. And they escaped. God caused them to escape. And they had to go through the Red Sea. And they had to go on, and they went through the Jordan River. And we relate that, don't we, to a spiritual experience, don't we? When you come into the land of Canaan and you cross that river, that's a new place. It's a place where the Spirit of God indwells our heart and life richly, and before us lays the land that God promised to His people. And so the Lord uses a lot of language to describe these areas. And so we see that that the Lord promised His people some good things this morning. And He wants us to see that and to know that and to believe enough to covenant with God in such a way that I'll go in and I'll defy the giants and I'll take that land. Because when they entered Canaan, they still had a lot of work to do, didn't they? They had some things to conquer. And so they had just begun. But the walls came down as long as they were obedient to God. We see that with Jericho. Then we see their disobedience brought on with Ai, a real defeat. But as long as they obeyed and served the Lord, He said, the land is before you, and every place you put the sole of your foot, it's yours. And so this morning, I want to think a little bit about that. Here in Deuteronomy 11 and 10, he said, the land whither thou goest in to possess it is not as the land of Egypt. And folks, that's the way it is today. The Lord has a lot for us, and it's not like the land that we came out of, thankfully. Thankfully, we're not slaves anymore. Thankfully, we're not being beat up all the time anymore. Thankfully, we're not having to spend time for things that we used to do. The Lord has a land that's lush with His promises for us today. I want to read a little bit from the Scripture about some of those things. I want to encourage us today to live where God has put us. The Scripture talks about, I'm dwelling on the mountain. Well, you know what? Maybe you're in the valley right now. That's a place too. And the Scriptures talk about it. I want to read some of that. And I want to think about the being faithful in the place that we're in by faith, having confidence that God is going to bring us higher, that He's going to bring us to the places that He wants us to be. And so we read on here, the land, okay, it's not as the land of Egypt from whence ye came out, where thou sowest thy seed and waterest it with thy foot as a garden of herbs. And I don't know exactly what that means. I read the commentary on that. But they don't have rainfall like they were going to have in Israel, much more so in parts of Israel especially. And so they had to make irrigation. They used the Nile River. They had to bring water up. They had to live more or less a lot of times by those rivers, probably most all the time. But he said, but the land whither ye go to possess it is a land of hills and valleys, and drinketh water of the rain of heaven, a land which the Lord thy God careth for. The eyes of the Lord thy God are always upon it, from the beginning of the year even unto the end of the year. And it shall come to pass, if ye shall hearken diligently unto my commandments, which I command you this day, to love the Lord your God and to serve Him with all your heart and with all your soul, then I will give you the rain of your land in its due season, the first rain and the latter rain, that thou mayest gather in thy corn and thy wine and thine oil. And I will send grass in thy fields for thy cattle, that thou mayest eat and be full. And so we see a little description here that the Lord said, the land you're going to is a land of hills and valleys. You know, this morning, we're going to experience all those places in our life, aren't we? And those places sometimes are some of the richest places. You know, when we're in a low place, that's what a valley is. A valley is a low place. I will tell you something else. It's also a sure place because there's always water there. And you know what? That's where the richest soils are. And you know what else? That's where things grow so well. Right there in the valley. And you know, he said, the land you're going into, it's going to be a land of hills and valleys. You know, I'm going to send the rain. It's going to wash down the hills. It's going to wash that vegetation down. It's going to wash that good stuff. And you know what? Sometimes we're in the valley, aren't we? And I want to encourage us to live right where we're at. It doesn't mean we don't seek for more. But you know what it does mean? It means we live right where we're at. We're contented with what God has given us. Seeking His face. Do you know that the lowest places of our lives lots of times are places where we do the most heart searching, don't we? It gets us ready for the climb a lot of times. The places of the valley, many times, that's where we are humbled, isn't it? What is wrong with being humbled? It's a place where God said He meets people there. He meets people in that humble place. And so our prayer is, Lord, I don't have anything but You. Do you know when we call out to the Lord like that, He loves that. Because We don't have anything but him anyway. He made all of this. Whatever we have is just what he gave us anyway, one way or another. And so he loves us to come to the place that we recognize, Lord, all my hopes are in you. All my strength is in you. All my dreams are in you. And everything that I desire, Lord, is you first. And you know, the Lord uses different times and places of our life. That grass on those hillsides, those places, it's beautiful, isn't it? It's a nice place to be. And the Lord sends his rain when we're obedient. He will send his rain by and by. And so I want to look at a little bit here and there. You know, in Isaiah 35 and 11, maybe we'll go ahead and look these up. I had almost thought to just quote them, but Isaiah 35 and 11 says, where is it? The wilderness and the solitary place shall be glad for them, and the desert shall rejoice and blossom as the rose. Now that's Isaiah 35 and 1. The wilderness is a desert. That's, if I remember, I've looked that up before. That's a desert area. And it says it's going to blossom like the rose. You know what the Lord's going to do? If his people are in a wilderness, a desert setting, you know what? He's not going to leave us there. He said it's going to blossom like the rose. I'm going to cause that to happen in your life. And the desert shall rejoice and blossom as the rose. That's what the Lord wants to do. The scripture in Isaiah 35 was talking about a parched ground. Another one there. Seven, is it? Yes, and the parched ground shall become a pool, and the thirsty land springs of water. The parched ground's going to become a pool. Folks, the Lord wants us to live right where we are. He doesn't want us to feel like we have to be in a different situation to serve him. We can serve the Lord in the desert where there isn't any water. And he said, it's going to blossom like the rose. And he said here that the parched ground shall become a pool. Now, however the Lord's going to do that, he's going to do it for his people. So whatever situation we are in, whether we feel like we're on the mountaintop, I was thinking about that mountaintop a little bit. We'll read a scripture or two about that. But you know, a mountaintop is a wonderful place to be. But I'm getting ahead of myself. I'm going to stay here for a minute. This desert, folks, let's let it do its work. We humble ourselves before God because we're totally dependent on him. There's nothing wrong with that. The Lord's going to make it blossom like a rose. Let's let him do that this morning. You know, the Canaan land, the Lord expects us to go into that land. He doesn't expect us to come out of Egypt and wander around the rest of our life. When we come out of Egypt, meaning sin, that's the metaphor, meaning the land where we were captives, where we were slaves to sin, where we were and we all know what that's about, don't we? And you know what? When we come out of that, the Lord wants to take us into a land that flows with milk and honey, is what he said. He wants to take us into a place where we have some blessings in our heart and life. And we have to search for that. And so, and yet it's a place of hills and valleys, and there's going to be a lot of giants, there's going to be some giants there if you want to claim that mountain. And there's going to be some high walls if you want to claim Jericho. And the Lord wants us to have it, folks. And so let's put our chins up a little and look ahead and say, I'm going to march into all that God has for me. It's his promises all the way from the figures and metaphors of the past, of the Old Testament, all through the New Testament. The Lord preaches that to us. And so they took the gospel of the kingdom to all the world. And I was reading just a little excerpt from Tertullian the other day. And you know, he was writing a letter to the Romans, I believe it was Tertullian, and mentioning, they had their persecutions and they hated the Christians and all those things, and yet the Christians had become very populous in the Roman territories. And he said, if we all withdrew, you wouldn't have anybody to persecute. What are you persecuting us for? And so anyway, that was the Christians in their day. That was them in their place of persecution. And they shone so much that it could do nothing. But he went on to say, who wouldn't want to be a Christian when they're told what a Christian is and they know what it is? Who wouldn't want to be a Christian? And that was his defense before the Roman government. That may have been later than Tertullian, but I want to look here at Deuteronomy 3 and 23. And we read about Moses here. And I commanded Joshua, no, that's 21, 23, and I besought the Lord at that time, saying, now here was Moses, and he wanted to go into that land that was promised them. And he said, I besought the Lord, I asked him, O Lord God, thou hast begun to show thy servant thy greatness and thy mighty hand. For what God is there in heaven or in earth that can do according to thy works and according to thy might? I pray thee, let me go over and see the good land that is beyond Jordan, that goodly mountain and Lebanon. But the Lord was wroth with me for your sakes and would not hear me. And the Lord said unto me, let it suffice thee, speak no more unto me of this matter. You're not going into the land, Moses. I told you you weren't going to get to go. Get thee up into the top of Pisgah, and lift up thine eyes westward and northward and southward and eastward, and behold it with thine eyes, for thou shalt not go over this Jordan. But charge Joshua and encourage him and strengthen him, for he shall go over before this people, and he shall cause them to inherit the land which thou shalt see. You know, when Moses went up to that high place, he looked all over the land and saw the beauty of it. But Moses never got to go over there. And I was thinking about those mountaintop places. It's a beautiful place when you get to behold. I remember one time we went to New Mexico and climbed Baldy Peak. It's a little over about 12,400 and some feet. And we climbed and we climbed, and the air got thinner and thinner and our packs got heavier. And we got out of the trees and up onto the rocks and climbing over rocks. Brother Lonnie was with us that time. And we climbed all the way to the top. And you know, up there on top, the views are breathtaking. It's an experience everyone should have sometime. It's a gorgeous thing to look out all around as far as you can see. And there's beautiful mountain peaks and tops all around. Beautiful, the handiwork of God everywhere. But I'll be honest with you, I wouldn't want to live on that peak. Because it was windy. It was cold. There wasn't any vegetation hardly at all. You know, there wasn't any trees. And I believe in going up on the mountain and all of that. But folks, we really live life where we're at. And I want to encourage us to be contented with what God has allowed into our life. And to find Him rich where we are at. If we're in the valley, let's drink the cup of humiliation. Let's take the cup of tribulation, of persecution, of distresses, of maybe financial distresses, maybe things we wish everything was perfect and it's not. We wish we could say, oh, it just all looks wonderful all the time. You know what? Those inspirations are so good to have. But I want to share with us this morning that many times it's down in the valley that we find the rich soil that makes us to grow in. And I want to encourage us to let that be the case in our life. I remember up on that mountain, I don't know what the elements, I don't know how this worked, but we were with Rule Gibson and a whole group of us traveling up that mountain. And he told us, he said, when we get to the top, there's a board up there that my dad and I climbed this mountain about 30 or 30 some years ago. And he said, there's a board with his name inscribed on it, where he inscribed his name. And we got up there and we found that board, and it was still clearly legible. And you know, that was a place I knew he had seen that same inspiration. But you know, we can't always live in that kind of inspiration. Many times we live under either persecution or troubles or trials. And in that way, we can't be on the mountain all the time. And I want to look at a few things here in Deuteronomy 8 and 6 and 7. The Lord, he says, therefore, thou shalt keep the commandments of the Lord thy God, to walk in his ways and to fear him. For the Lord thy God bringeth thee into a good land, a land of brooks of water, of fountains and depths that spring out of valleys and hills, a land of wheat and barley and vines and fig trees and pomegranates, a land of oil, olive, and honey, a land wherein thou shalt eat bread without scarceness. Thou shalt not lack anything in it, a land whose stones are iron, and out of whose hills thou mayest dig brass. And when thou hast eaten and art full, then thou shalt bless the Lord thy God for the good land which he hath given thee. And then he says, beware that thou forget not the Lord thy God. You know, the Lord wants to take us on a journey through our life. And he wants to take us out of Egypt. And he wants to bring us into a land that is a good land. And it has good fruits in it. And it brings forth in our life. And those things bring about enough good that he said, when you get all this good now, you don't forget that I brought you out. Don't forget me. Don't forget God, because he brought you into that place. It's easy when we get into the inspiration and all that to think life is amazing and all of that. Folks, we don't want to ever forget the only good things we have come from God. And we want to always serve him. He sendeth. I love the 104th Psalm. I want to read a little out of it this morning. Psalms 104 and starting at verse 10. The first verse, he begins by saying something like, O Lord my God, thou art very great. And he begins to, bless the Lord, O my soul, O Lord my God, thou art very great. Thou art clothed with honor and majesty. And in the 10th verse, he says, he sendeth the springs into the valleys which run among the hills. They give drink to every beast of the field. The wild asses quench their thirst. By them shall the fowls of the heaven have their habitation, which sing among the branches. He watereth the hills from his chambers. The earth is satisfied with the fruit of thy works. He causeth the grass to grow for the cattle and herb for the service of man, that he may bring forth food out of the earth. Do you know the Lord has done all of that? And those waters run down into valleys, and those valleys many times are low places. And so let's don't despise that. There's plenty of water there. There's plenty of good things. There's a song that says, God on the mountain. We've all heard it probably. Life is easy when you're up on the mountain and you've got peace of mind like you've never known. But things change when you're down in the valley. Don't lose faith, for you're never alone. For the God on the mountain is still God in the valley. When things go wrong, he'll make them right. And the God of the good times is still God in the bad times. The God of the day is still God in the night. You talk of faith when you're up on the mountain, but talk comes so easy when life's at its best. Now it's down in the valley of trials and temptations. That's where your faith is really put to the test. For the God on the mountain is still God in the valley. When things go wrong, He'll make them right. And the God of the good times is still God in the bad times. The God of the day is still God in the night. And it repeats that last stanza. I hope this can help us a little bit this morning. We don't want to expect to always live on a peak of inspiration, because we're not going to do it. We're going to be disappointed if we think that. We're going to live with the God in the good times, and He's going to let us. He allowed me to go up to Baldy and look around. It's etched in my mind, the beauty of God's handiwork all around. But I had to come back home, and I've had to work a lot of hot days in the sun since then. And you know, we do that, don't we? But we want to remember something. The God that made all that inspiration and all that beauty, He gives us that. Isn't that beautiful? It's nice to have those peaks. But folks, let's live right where we are. Let's be faithful in the valley, wherever we are at. Let's be faithful on the hillside that we might be at today. James 1 says, "My brethren, count it all joy when you fall into diverse temptations." That's not maybe real easy to do, but he kind of goes on to explain what he means here. Count it as worthwhile. Count it as something that's worth it. Count it as joy, he says. "Knowing this, that the trying of your faith worketh patience. But let patience have her perfect work, that ye may be perfect and entire, wanting nothing." You know, the Lord allows these things. And if we realize that the great God of heaven and the great God of love is going to deal with us in that way, then we can count it joy. This trouble that I'm in, God's going to get me where I need to go through this trouble. Do we believe that this morning? I hope we do. I hope in our heart that we know, Lord, just bring it on. Whatever you see that I need to get me to heaven, please do. That's what I need. Because I don't necessarily see what I need. I'm thinking, I need a mountaintop. I need inspiration. And He's saying, you need humility. You need to humble yourself before God. You need to strengthen yourself in the Lord. You need to pray more fervently than you'd be praying sitting up there on the mountain, blessing the Lord, looking around. This is amazing. That's wonderful, isn't it? But I'll tell you what, it's down in the valley when we're on our knees through the night, when we're pleading with God. That's when we find the richest places in God. Let's don't despise those things that the Lord leads us into. And let's allow Him to be God. Lord, You brought me into this place, and I'm not moving. I'm going to seek Your face, and I'm going to serve You faithfully, and I'm going to do Your will. And I'm going to grow, and I'm going to inch up a little, and I'm going to gain ground. And I'm going to enjoy the good things of God. And You're going to teach me contentment and holiness. You're going to teach me godliness. You're going to teach me Your ways and put them into my heart and life. Isn't that wonderful this morning? I agree with the writer. Who wouldn't want to be a Christian if they knew what a real Christian was? The problem is many people don't know what a real Christian is. Folks, the Lord has a place that He wants to take us in Him, where we can learn the valuable lessons. We're not contented when we're young. We're hollering for everything. We get saved, we got a long way to go, folks. We've got a lot of learning to do. But I've got to go to heaven, and I hope you do too. I know you need to. We all need to, don't we? I want to read another place over here in Isaiah 41 and 17. Through 20. When the poor and needy seek water. Listen to this. I believe in a God like this, folks. This is our hope. It is in God. He says, when the poor and needy seek water, and there is none, and their tongue faileth for thirst, I, the Lord, will hear them. I, the God of Israel, will not forsake them. I will open rivers in high places. Maybe there wouldn't be enough water up there for a river. There wasn't any water in the desert, was there? But it came right out of a rock. The Lord said, I, the Lord, will hear them. The God of Israel will not forsake them. And so our faith comes into play here. Lord, I'm just yours. I'm going to serve you no matter what. No matter what. I will open rivers in high places, fountains in the midst of the valleys. I will make the wilderness a pool of water and the dry land springs of water. I will plant in the wilderness or the desert the cedar, the shittah tree and the myrtle and the oil tree. I will set in the desert the fir tree and the pine and the box tree together that, listen to this, that they may see it. That they may see and know and consider and understand together that the hand of the Lord hath done this and the Holy One of Israel hath created it. If we were strong enough within ourselves to create this, believe me, people would be proclaiming to the world, you see what I did? You see my life? Just follow me. But you know what? We can't do that. But I'll tell you what we can do. We can anchor ourselves in the Lord and follow Him closely. And when we get in the valley, we can dig. We can let that fertile soil spring up flowers, flowers of praise, flowers of thanksgiving, flowers of, or we can sit there and dwell. We don't have to be exercised by those valleys. We can dwell in those valleys and we can be ugly and mean about it and terrible, or we can take the Lord's way, and those things, we can shoot up those praises. We can be a glory in the hands of God. We can be thankful when all around us people are complaining that are maybe better off than we are. But that's not the way salvation works, is it? Thank the Lord this morning for His goodness to us. I believe this, that they may see and know and consider and understand together that the hand of the Lord hath done this and the Holy One of Israel hath created it. If it was up to just us, nobody else would have hope. But this is the hand of the Lord. And so let's move into these places and let's let God take us into those places. I want to read song number 201. And listen to what the words say in this. It's the title is Humility by William Schell in our Evening Light hymnal. The first verse, Humility, thou secret veil, unknown to proud in heart, where showers of blessing never fail. You know, there's those places, isn't there? We're in that place where that's where it rains. That's where the Lord brings His good things. Where showers of blessing never fail and glories ne'er depart. Oh, make thy blessed abode with me, thou angel of the sky. If I may ever dwell with thee, my soul shall never die. Humility, how pure thy place, thou seat of holiness. That door of entrance into grace and everlasting bliss. Humility, how calm the breast that knows thy peace sublime. Within thy courts our perfect rest grows sweeter all the time. Do we see places that we need to grow in? Maybe get a little deeper in? That's okay. Let's live where we are and let's grow. Let's grow right where we are. Let's let the Lord move us. And then if He wants to take us up to the mountaintop and show us around. I know there's different metaphors, and there's a mountaintop experience the Lord wants us to have, and yet there's a living in the vale that He wants us to have too. There's a living in the valley that He wants us to experience richly and fully, where we don't resist the hand of God in our life. We pray to Him, Lord, deliver me from this. You know, when we have affliction, we pray that, don't we? But Lord, in spite of that, You deal with me. In spite of whatever You leave on me or in me or whatever, draw me close to You. That's what I really want. That's really the desire of my heart. And I'll tell you, the Lord will give you the desires of your heart. Many times He'll come along and He'll heal and He'll work miracles and He'll deliver in ways we never dreamed He even could. But the Lord will do that, doesn't He? Over and over. The last verse, humility, thou shoreless sea of perfect love so deep. Thy crystal waters cover me, my helpless soul to keep. And so the Lord help us to humble ourselves to the Lord. I had thought I might read Psalm 23. We're so familiar with that, aren't we? Folks, the Lord is my shepherd. He's your shepherd too. I shall not want. He maketh me to lie down in green pastures. He restoreth my soul. You know, He don't always make us to lie down in green pastures, but sometimes He does. Isn't that wonderful? And then it says, He restoreth my soul. He leadeth me in the paths of righteousness for His name's sake. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death. Life is a journey. The next thing you know, we might be walking through the valley of the shadow of death. He said, I will fear no evil, for Thou art with me. Thy rod and Thy staff, they comfort me. And then listen to the last words of this. Thou preparest a table before me. In the presence of mine enemies. He didn't say you just snuff them all out. He said, you make a table for me right where I'm at. If it's right in the presence of my enemies, if it's right in the midst of the greatest trial of my life, You're going to make a table for me. You're going to help me through this. And you know what? When we get through those times, folks, isn't it a blessing to look back and see how the Lord never forsook us, though at times we might have wondered if He had? That's the way the Lord works this morning. Thou preparest a table before me in the, a table. I'll never forget, I hope, the message Brother Marty preached about the table lined all the way to the back of the chapel and back down. He was talking about tables full of goods, good stuff. And I can't forget that. It's in my mind too. And I'm thinking about God has all kinds of things for us, folks. But He's not always going to make it the easiest thing on our flesh. That might not get us to heaven. But He wants to feed us in the midst of our enemies. He wants to feed us in the midst of the thing that would kill us. He wants to feed us right there. Thou anointest my head with oil. My cup runneth over. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life. Thank the Lord. And I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. Oh, folks, we want to know the Lord, don't we? The Lord wants us to know Him too. Our safety is to serve Him everywhere He lets us be in life. Serve Him in that place and ask Him for deliverance. Lord, I need to come out. I need, Lord, I would like to be delivered from this affliction, from this persecutor. I would love to, from this trial that I have. You know what? He'll deliver us. Most of the time, He'll deliver us completely from those things. God is like that. Let's serve the Lord with all of our hearts. Let's give Him our days. Folks, He's a grand landscaper, painter. The things we paint are just pictures of what He does. And He wants to do those things in our lives. And he wants to use our lives. And we're thinking it's a desolate waste. It's a barren desert. And how could ever God ever... Folks, he's a master. And what we want to do is humble ourselves to God. Lord, I need you. I want you to fill this vessel full of your Spirit. And I yield to you the reins of my life. And I want to tell you something. You would never be sorry for that. Thank the Lord this morning. You pray for me too.